Welcome to today's episode. In this episode of Biz Trends, we dive into the exciting world of AI again with the one and only Nicole Adrians, a seasoned business executive specializing in data and AI. She has over 20 years of experience driving transformation solutions across the full business value chain. Since 2009, she has led the strategic design and implementation of data-driven initiatives, from omni-channel optimization to cutting-edge omni-digital programs, delivering measurable value and innovation. She's passionate about inclusive leadership, and Nicole is a dedicated advocate for empowering women in technology, actively mentoring and championing diversity in the tech space. Her forward-thinking approach and commitment to excellence continue to shape impactful data strategies and foster a culture of innovation and equity. So, Nicole, you recently took part in a panel discussion at the AI Empowered event in Cape Town, and your optimistic contribution to the conversation, particularly with regards to how your organization seeing the evolving roles of human skill sets, such as computer programming and devs in an AI-powered world. Can you talk us through this a little bit?
Thank you, Bronwyn. That introduction was sounded like you were talking about somebody else, but I'm happy to be here. I think the AI-empowered event was tailored to entrepreneurs, enterprise attendees, just to understand and unpack, I guess, the nuances around AI and how we need to embrace it and what we need to be aware of to adopt it, to be able to use it and leverage it for good. And so I was so I'm pleased to join the panel of other industry leads talking about how this impacts their environment. And particularly since I come from the technology services industry, we focused a lot around technology and the impact of AI in technology roles and the fears and the optimism around how that impacts the job market and future skills needed. From my perspective, you know, we're dealing with the reality where we've got two ends or two extremes within the business context. We still have demand for very traditional roles and traditional skills across our customer base. And then we do have demands from our customers to be on the forefront of technology and be able to exploit the latest tools available for us to provide them with that competitive advantage. And so we're dealing with a workforce that needs to be multi-skilled, highly adaptable to be able to show up and deliver according to those client expectations. So it was a robust conversation, listening to different industry impacts from agency all the way through to human capital impact. And I felt optimistic, but also pragmatic, leaving the panel around the future of AI and what it means for Africa as a whole.
Fantastic. So you spoke a little bit about how AI is intersecting with people, parts of organizations, and that obviously requires some changes to the way organizations' strategies are developed. So what have you been seeing personally in your role and in the organization that you work with regards to that intersection of AI and HR and how to approach that from, as you say, a pragmatically optimistic perspective?
Yeah, I think, you know, depending on who you ask, I think the optimism is largely led by technology enthusiasts and business leaders to some extent. Business leaders are optimistic but pragmatic around its value. Because they lead with shareholder value in mind, their optimism is typically tied to specific use cases that would have financial outcome. Whereas tech enthusiasts lead through just sheer excitement and joy of being able to use shiny new tools available. However, they do, I guess, sometimes overlook risks such as the bias, regulation, and displacement. And so I think it's a nice balance between the narrative from the business context and the tech enthusiasts. And that is how we're going to be able to achieve a balance.
Fantastic. So one of the reasons that we got you on the show is because our producers were really impressed with an article that you wrote about how our future is more human than we think it is. And since that article really inspired this conversation, maybe you can talk us through a little bit about your thesis there. What were the big points that you were making? I don't want to steal your points and read it off instead.
Absolutely. I think from Blue Sky's perspective, you know, we are a relatively new business. It is a founder-led business. We just celebrated 9 years, a birthday anniversary. And so from the beginning, the organization has really embraced a culture of innovation and staying on the forefront of technology and bringing that value to customers as well. But really from a leadership and an HR perspective, they have created a culture for embracing AI in our business. So it's embedded in our business all the way from interns to senior principal consultants. But always remembering why we exist and using our skills and our platforms for good. So achieving mastery in their craft is part of our ethos. And we invite open discussion in our organization. There's a very healthy debate and competitiveness amongst developers in our organization. And so they certainly are living their best lives using their skills, using AI-enabled platforms to elevate what they can do. And a lot of my points on the panel and why I felt I needed to also put it into a blog was because, you know, the fear around will AI take our jobs is really, it's nuanced, but it overshadows the incredible opportunity it allows our traditional coders and developers. They've misunderstood. There's a common misconception that they prefer to be, working in a dark room, not engaging with others. And actually that's quite false in our environment. Our developers love engaging with users and collaborating and sitting in workshops where they ideate with the client and quickly visualize a concept. And so using tools such as Supabase and Lovable has allowed our developers to just code without worrying about the syntax and worrying about debugging. They can really just design and create. And this has unlocked really a great employee value proposition. They are happy to come to work. They are enjoying what they're doing. And it's without fear of making an error and fear of being perfect.
Okay, so talk to us a little bit more about some of those platforms and tools that your very human workforce is embracing. What are the sorts of platforms? You mentioned a couple like Lovable. What are the platforms that people are using within your organization? And what sort of new employee superpowers are these platforms unleashing? How do the new AI tools allow your workforce to do things that they couldn't do before?
So another tool is abacus.ai. Our senior team, in fact, from our junior to our senior teams, they're all using it to be able to create minimal viable products, taking ideas to a product that they can show and interact with and iterate from there. So they all talk about enjoying the ability to just create by writing very little code. But what is quite clear is that they still enjoy the control of providing context, providing guidance to the tool on how to build. So those principles, that systems thinking, that design thinking is still very much what the human needs to input. So Abacus is one. And then from our junior team, our interns, we have a large academy. We take on interns every year into our business, and they are using ChatGPT quite a bit, and they're doing this as part of their research. They're doing this to help them write code, and so when they do go to their technical mentors for assistance, you know, it's not to review their code, but it's actually to review the ideas around design and architecture and best practice. So I think across the board, we've got our team exploring new tools that are available. We have provided them with guardrails, but we haven't constrained them in terms of what they can use just to make their their lives a little bit easier and keep them more engaged. And they're really enjoying the efficiency of it, but again, the creativity. And with creativity, we're seeing emergence of leaders come through, from even from junior team, taking the lead in design sessions and, you know, having a concept and requirement in the morning, and by the afternoon, they've got a product that they can already show the senior team. So that confidence, it's growing in confidence. It is allowing our juniors to emerge as leaders, and it's allowing some of our junior team to showcase their broader capabilities other than the technical skills that they were hired on the basis of our hiring process.
Amazing. So you're really talking about how AI can unlock capacity for skills that are inherently human, and that humans, therefore, can start to do what they or we are best at. More creativity, more problem solving, spending more time on empathy, leadership, storytelling, design thinking, problem solving, that sort of thing. So maybe if you can just hammer down on that point a little bit further and talk about the difference of how work is evolving. You've mentioned some of these things, but if you were to kind of summarize the distinction between work as we knew it, old work, and new work that is emerging thanks to the capabilities of technology, how would you describe that shift?
I get this question a lot as I'm advising my clients. And I think for me, the main narrative is that AI doesn't replicate all of your job. It replicates tasks. So where AI is really good, it's around, let me go back. I would say that most roles is a combination of repetitive routine tasks that also has some human input, like judgment and applying creativity or empathy. So AI would chip away at those routine tasks, but amplify where a human is required to give input. So it's not just a plug in and play kind of solution. People think that AI will instantly know everything. In reality, AI needs context. It needs oversight. It does need direction. And so the human in the loop is essential. I believe this is our secret sauce. In a technology services business, our people are the product, and that is our secret sauce, not the technology that enables the process or allows for the outcome. Our secret sauce is the human that has been hired through our recruitment process for a particular set of skills that adds value into the process. So again, productivity, is, I guess, the unintended outcome. It's a bonus. I believe that the value that humans add is far more impactful.
So overall, you're quite optimistic about the future of humans working with technology and using technology to empower individuals, but you're also somewhat controversially optimistic about the eco-credentials of artificial intelligence, which has, by a lot of commentators, being quite maligned for how energy and water intensive these products really are. But you have a slightly different perspective when it comes to optimism around sustainability and technology. Can you talk us through how you debunk some of these common talk points that are, in your perspective, perhaps more like myths than facts when it comes to the more systemic picture of the environmental credentials and possibilities of artificial intelligence?
You know, I've been in data for the last 15 years, and in fact, data science has been around for a lot longer. And so we have been using data to predict, to forecast and demand what levels of stock you need to hold. And I think the emergence of AI has just amplified and allowed us to do that far more efficiently and at a reduced cost nowadays. And so for my take on providing greener and sustainable futures is really around reducing waste. So in the example of food supply chains, AI predicts, and it has been doing, can predict demand. Now AI has allowed for far more precise and accurate predictions, and thus then it prevents overproduction and spoilage in the food supply chain. On the retail side, our customers are able to accurately demand and forecast, and this reduces stock overflows, optimizing of distribution centers and stock rooms. In a retail business, the stock room is quite small in relation to the size of the store. And so to be able to optimally utilize available space and not have to expand and grow the footprint is a huge benefit. The other one is around moving into online or e-commerce outlets. And this is around, you know, reducing the running costs of having large warehouses. Now you can utilize AI to be more efficient with your cross-docking and optimize your delivery to suppliers and consumers. All of these things are contributing to more sustainable and green businesses. For me, because I live in Cape Town, the traffic this morning was quite heavy. I believe the biggest and the most exciting impact is around using AI in sustainable transport. You know, I'm very optimistic around using AI for public transport routes. We can do ride sharing now with our driving services such as Uber. And I think this is going to allow for less cars on the road, which then drives lower emissions. And really just, I believe, rethinking how we move goods using our public transport and road services, reducing congestion and pollution.
That's a really valuable perspective, that we got to move beyond these false binaries, that it's either technology or humanity or technology versus the planet, but rather, as you say, it can be things like productivity for humanity rather than productivity against humanity. And it can be technology for sustainability, not technology against sustainability. It's all about how we approach the perspectives in front of us, and also how we look at things perhaps from a broader perspective rather than just looking at pieces of the system. When you start to look at the full system, you can start to see the full range of possibilities, and not just efficiencies, but also sustainabilities, if you want to put it that way, that can emerge from approaching technology from a more positive perspective. But that being said, there are still real realities that many people, particularly many businesses that are watching this show, are dealing with human staff members who are still feeling resistant against adopting technology in the workplace. There are many fears, as you mentioned, some of them more legitimate than others. Like, there are fears that are quite legitimate about losing rote jobs or execution-based low-thinking jobs, which some people might actually quite like doing because it's quite nice to get paid for not having to think too much. But at the same time, you obviously want to have a happy workforce as well as a productive workforce, but also a workforce that is optimistic about technology, but at the same time understands the shift that that's going to have to require from the individual in the workplace to stop seeing themselves as a cog in a machine and to start seeing themselves as a problem solver. So from a leader and a manager perspective, can you talk to us a little bit about how you can prepare teams to embrace this shift from being executors to being innovators, from being low-thinking doers to high-thinking creatives and problem solvers?
Yes, I think in answering that question, I just want to say that most of our customers, and when I attend networking and events, is that they are underestimating the shift, really. They are investing in AI tools, but not necessarily the same investment is going into upskilling people to be co-pilots of those tools. So those who don't make that investment may find that the workforce would look productive on paper and through the data, but is actually running on autopilot with no one steering the ship. So that's the danger that we face. You know, in future, the workplace won't reward what you know, because we have been conditioned to work towards mastering a particular skill. I believe the future is not going to reward what you know, but how well you partner with AI and technology to turn that knowledge into true value and like wisdom. So, you know, to answer your question, what should you be focusing on? We are seeing a move to our coders knowing when to code and when to orchestrate within existing tools. Every customer of ours has a unique ecosystem. They've got legacy tools, they've got new tools, modern tools. And those who will do very well in the future will know when to leverage the skills that you have for custom and to be able to orchestrate agents, AI, existing systems within the ecosystem.
Okay, so that's a great perspective on the present, but as an expert in your field, you probably have some views on the future of what's going to happen with the intersection of technology and humanity in the workplace. So putting on your futurist hat, looking around about 10 years ahead to give you a horizon to play with, what is your boldest prediction about something or some things that you think might play out in the intersection of AI and HR in the AI human workspace that most people aren't talking about yet?
Okay, I think looking forward, the most valuable employees won't be the ones that know the most, but more the ones who know how to ask AI the right questions and apply judgment. Why I say that, I think AI, we know, is good at repetitive tasks. So AI will take over the mechanics of research, of analysis, of creating that first draft of a script or a blog post or what you're posting on LinkedIn. What will set us apart is the ability to guide and critique that and refine the AI outputs. So spotting that nuances, that those bias and that ethical gaps. So I believe going forward, the human role will shift from doing the task, certainly, to being more of a sense maker and a decision guardrail for AI. We're moving from building systems to designers and orchestrators of those intelligent ecosystems.
And that's a wrap on today's episode. A huge thank you to Nicole for sharing your deep insights on AI optimism and why the future of work might be more human than we think it is. From transforming businesses with AI-driven automation to unlocking human potential through creativity, empathy, and ethics, it's clear that AI is not replacing us, it's augmenting us. We hope you enjoyed this episode of the What, Who, When, Where, and How of Afro Global Trends. If today's conversation inspired you to dive deeper into the future of work, don't forget to like, subscribe, and follow us on Wrapped Biz Trends TV. You can also catch us on Biz Community's official website, The Real Network, YouTube, and on Spotify and Apple Podcasts. So on behalf of myself, Bronwyn Williams, my guests Nicole, Biz Community, and Rap Creative, thank you for watching. We'll see you next time with more exciting trends and innovations.